If you live somewhere on this planet Earth, you have heard or seen the program Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour. It's actually a live recorded radio show that is then distributed to hundreds of outlets around the world. Michael Jonathan is the proprietor and the mind and the man behind the concept of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour. He's also a good friend of this program. And Michael dropped by recently to discuss a newer project that he's been working on, Song Farmers Worldwide Front Porch. The ideas are really, as Michael will explain them in the second hour, to get people playing again, playing for fun and enjoying the fact that they're playing music as if there were, in fact, a worldwide front porch wrapped around the entire planet. Very happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass, Michael Jonathan. Michael, it's been a while since we talked, and here we are in person. We're going to catch up on some things that you've been doing in the last year or so.
Well, last time we talked, Obama was president.
That's right. Thank you. That's our watermark. Perfect. That's right.
Now somebody else is.
Right. We often talk about, and feel free to catch up a little bit. The audience knows who you are. They know Woodsongs.
Maybe.
They know you're a performer and a writer, and not only of songs, but also of books and plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that you also have this World Front Porch Association.
Yes, the community of song farmers.
Yes, song farmers, which is, just seems to be going, no help from me involved, seems to be going really strongly. So where are we going?
Well, let's correct something. Sure. You were the first radio personality to do an interview about the creation of the song farmer community. Mm-hmm. So let's establish the fact that, yes, you are a big help.
Thank you. It's moving right along. You're into what, the fourth? This is coming the fourth year as far as the meeting.
This is our third year. Yeah. We're about to have our third national gathering, October 13 and 14, at Shaker Village, right outside of Lexington, mm-hmm. Kentucky. And Song Farmers is the name that we give our members. A song farmer is any of you that has that front porch spirit, that front porch outlook to your music, that you want to use music to help your life, your family, your neighborhoods, your communities. Here's why the song farmer movement is so important, and it's because most of you that are players are not going to make a living with your music. That's the fact. And you can go to all these wonderful trade organizations that you want. It's not going to help you unless you have a very realistic view of your music. And that's what the song farmer movement is. We're going to take a very honest, real look at your music, whether you're folk or singer-songwriter, bluegrass, or doesn't matter. We need to change our view of our music. And that's what the song farmer movement is, and it's growing really fast.
Unbelievably fast. It's funny, Michael, because in this day of the internet where we all have instant electronic contact, this is the real face-to-face where we're sitting, not always on a front porch, but maybe, and people are playing music, like you said, not because they're performing to make a living. They're playing it to share.
Because they love it. They love it. And I think you know, love is the greatest transaction of the arts.
I've heard you say that before.
Yes, it is so true, and there's so many ways to prove it. I'm not going to browbeat the audience with different examples, but the fact that your audience member right now sits on their couch with their family and their friends and plays music, they're doing that out of love for the music. They're not getting paid. They're not looking for gigs. They're looking for the community of what music is. You know, the front porch represents the greatest stage in the world. The front porch represents the emotional pulpit of your neighborhood and your community. Years ago, the front porch was where people would gather in the evenings and pick and sing. They'd have their coffee in the morning. Their neighbors would come over. And America has lost its sense of the spiritual front porch. And the song farmer movement wants to give people the tools they need to recreate that. And whether you're a banjo player or a mandolin picker or a singer or just a fan, you know, there are song farmer chapters popping up all over the nation right now.
It really is unbelievable, because I happen to monitor what's going on because I'm involved in your website.
You're on our board of directors.
I am. Okay. And I don't. Thank you.
Let's reveal the secret.
So it's every day. There's new things, and the excitement on the local level and the energy is just amazing.
Yeah. Well, the Song Farmer chapter is a very simple. You become a member of the Wood Songs Front Porch Association. Now you're a song farmer. And we help you gather your friends for a little community jam. No tickets, no money, no nothing. It's just your friends are getting together. You pull out the pretzels and the iced tea. And in Little Tellico Plains, Tennessee, they're averaging 70 to 80 per jam.
No kidding.
Right here in Cincinnati, they've started a Song Farmer chapter. One just opened up in the Virgin Islands. And I think there's close to 30 right now, from Cabot, Arkansas, to Hinsburg, Vermont, to Florida, to everywhere. And this just shows the need for people to want to get together musically without the burden and the constraints of saying, why am I not getting paid?
And it also, yes, that's it. But it also puts people closer together, because that gap, as we've talked about this before, Michael, that gap that's created between people, even though they may think they're more connected. There's nothing like being, like I'm sitting with you now, and I've met you before, and we've talked a million times on the phone, but there's nothing like...
Well, we're friends.
Yeah, so I hope so. But there's nothing like being in the presence of someone and enjoying that camaraderie and the music involved, and that's the real connection. That music is an opportunity that you're using to connect people back together on this front porch that we used to have. That's what I see a main component of it.
Well, the biggest constraints, the biggest chain on the arts is money. Don't take that wrong. I want artists to make a living. And here, let's get mercenary for a minute. If you become a song farmer and you develop your community to pick and sing together, you are developing an audience. You're going to develop that audience faster than if you sat around in your basement wishing you could get discovered.
Correct.
Do something. Get off your tail and do something. This is what we're telling folks to do.
Exactly.
And all the leaders of our Song Farmer chapters, they're in the newspaper, they're on TV, they're on the local radio stations. They're doing more to introduce themselves to an audience by being song farmers than anything they've ever done in their life. And here's what happens. When you find your audience, even if you're using a free tool to do it, the audience will always do what the audience always does. They buy your stuff.
It's a beautiful concept, and it works.
It's the formula that art was originally built on.
You're right.
That the greatest benefactor of the arts is an audience, not a record label, not a manager, not a publicist, not an investor, none of that. It's you and the audience, and artists have lost their sense of the front porch. In turn, they've lost their sense of the importance of the audience. And what we're showing people as song farmers is your audience is your audience. Do not be ashamed of their location. It may be your living room couch. It may be your front porch. It could be a school basement. It could be under a tree at a gazebo in your park. It doesn't matter the location of your audience. Be proud of them. And as song farmers, we are planting these musical seeds, and we're watching this beautiful garden grow.
I love this passion. Now, I've talked to you before, and I hear
it's good drugs. I take really good drugs.
but I love seeing in your face. I hear it in your voice every time we've communicated, but getting to see it in your face, and I know that it's very genuine.
Well, you, like myself, like so many of your listeners, are tired of the mercenary, failed corporate structure of music. If you don't believe me, go look at Music Row in Nashville. It's turned into condominium central.
Right.
The music business is gone.
Right.
I mean, nobody dreamed 5 years ago that the biggest retailer of CDs in the United States was going to be Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
You know, Best Buy is getting out of the CD business. Walmart is now throwing them all in a big $5 bin. They're not even organized on shelves anymore. Nobody cares.
You know, you may do what every once in a while. I'll just take a trip through those stores you've mentioned just to see what's going on. And it's happening faster than I anticipated. I think within a year, there will be no shelves dedicated to this product that you're talking about.
Well, it's changing. Look, new cars don't have CD players in them anymore.
Right. That's right.
You buy a new computer, there's no CD slot in it anymore.
That's right. You're right.
And what has happened is the digitization... I'm so tired.
I'll use that one. That's a good word.
It's in English. Look it up in the dictionary.
It's there somewhere.
The digitizing of music has evaporated the three-dimensional nature of what music once was. And there's a whole generation of people now that get their art and music as a flat-screen, small cell phone, MP3 crushed to oblivion reproduction of what the music used to be originally, but now you're getting this vapid 2D mess. And our ears have gotten used to the sound of a crushed MP3.
And that's really a shame, because so many younger listeners who listen to music and like music, they don't get what's happened to the music they're hearing.
And artists are surrendering to it.
That's right.
You look at a normal CD to prove that they're surrendering it. Most artists put out a CD with the font so small you can't read the darn thing.
That's right.
I mean, they're surrendering to the smallness of it.
You're right. You're right.
And as song farmers, we're saying no.
Yep.
No. Music is organic. You can touch it. You can feel it. It is friends and it's neighbors and it's you playing a beautiful G chord on a Martin and it's the guy with the Gibson Mastertone following along. It's the friendship that develops, the familyness of it, the love of it. Is what should supersede the idea of making a living with it.
I love this concept. I love the enthusiasm of you and the people that are involved in it. You came in here today to meet with me, and I actually told the people where we are. I said, don't be surprised if he comes in with a guitar, or maybe because musicians don't leave them in the car. And I know you're headed somewhere. So the point of it is this: you are involved in the front porch. You're also a performing musician.
Yeah.
That's your real job.
I'm on my way for a concert at the Berklee College of Music in Boston as we speak.
So yeah, and
got to stop by and visit my friends.
I'm glad you had the opportunity. So you do that. You sell CDs. You make CDs. You make them available. The last one that you did, I don't think the current one, you recorded on.
An iPhone. Yes.
After we're just slamming this whole, but you did it differently. You did it for a reason, and I understand that, but it wasn't crushed down the way you described it.
Right. We recorded the Song Farmer album for two reasons. One, I wanted a very simple 1959-ish simple folk album.
So the old iPhones.
No, they use a new iPhone. I actually was iPhone 6P.
Okay.
But we used a Apogee Quartet interface and those beautiful ear trumpet microphones. And the album sounds like it was recorded in the studio, but I did it because I wanted to give a tribute to the community of engineers that we are losing as the CD market collapses and the music market collapses. We are losing the community of engineers that know how to do these brilliant concept albums. We are never going to see another album like Pet Sounds or Sgt. Pepper or Pink Floyd's The Wall. And part of that loss is not just because we don't have the budgets to do that as artists. Nobody's buying CDs. Where's the budget going to come from?
Right.
In turn, these studios are shutting down in droves, and we're losing the talented artisans that know how to create soundscapes as these big album projects were. We're losing it all, and that's a shame. We're surrendering it to little home studios that sound okay, and our ears are getting used to it, and it sounds okay, but that brilliance is not there. So I followed the simple Song Farmer album a few months later with the dream that I recorded with a 61-piece symphony orchestra. So I went from the Little Front Porch Song Farmer album to arena folk.
Arena folk. There's a term. There's arena folk.
We took it to arena
folk. Arena folk.
And the Dream album was done with brilliant engineers.
And is that the most recent one?
That's the most recent one. Okay. There's yet another one that has come out, and then it's going to be followed by the WoodSongs 3 book. Okay. So this calendar year, I will have had 4 releases.
We can talk about WoodSongs, which was an original. And we've done that before, but I want to make sure people know where to reach you. What kind of a website? What website would they go to find these CDs and this book that you're talking about?
Well, you can go to michaeljonathan.com to get to me directly. You can go to woodsongs.com to find about the radio and television broadcast that proves the concept that passion transcends payment. WoodSongs is completely volunteer.
It still blows my mind. You tell me that every time, and of all the people that come there, you told me once only one person couldn't make it, but people show up and go ahead. I interrupt.
44 weeks a year.
Yeah.
All volunteer run crew, 500 people cram into the Lyric Theater in Lexington. The show airs on 515 radio stations, 96 million homes across the U.S. on public television, American Forces Radio Network in 173 nations on the radio, and it worked out so well for American Forces Radio that they added us to a second channel now. It also airs in every single military base in the world, every U.S. naval ship in the world, which they're like little mini cities. And we'll have some big news here shortly, which I can't say on the radio. I'll tell you privately later. But it's growing big, and the whole thing runs on love, not payment. Nobody gets paid. I get nothing. Earls of Leicester come on the show, they get nothing. Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn come on, they get nothing. Rhonda Vincent and The Rage and Chris Thiele's been on 8 times. Yeah. Tommy Emmanuel 9 times.
He's there every week, I think. Every time I look up, Tommy's there.
He's a crew member.
That's nice.
Yeah. So this is something that proves what we were talking about, our song farmers. If you want to know about song farmers, it's very easy. Song farmers with an S, songfarmers.org.
Michael, I just you say this often, but love is the currency, and the WoodSongs proves it. The front porch is also following that model.
Yeah. It originated it.
Yeah, you're right.
In the media world.
You're right.
What could we do to prove that artists love their audience so much that they'll do it for free if everybody else was also doing it for free?
The last one, which I could not attend, and I keep trying to get the... I love the Shaker Village.
Mm-hmm. The Gathering, yeah.
Yeah, The Gathering. Pat Flynn was there?
Pat Flynn was there. A Banana from the Youngbloods was there. I mean, all kinds of artists. The Gathering is a combination music festival and member conference. There's mentoring sessions and lectures and films and workshops. But the most important thing is every member of the WFPA, every song farmer, gets on stage. Everybody goes on stage, and you get a time slot. And it's just a wonderful community. I think we had 840 show up this past year.
How are you doing it, man? How does it keep? You have to think every once in a while. When you get in your car and leave here, you've done this long enough. But still, every once in a while, you have to think, is this really working?
Yes.
There has to be some amazement, even though you go through all the hundreds. But still, you have to, when you're alone, I would say driving in your car without your CD player.
It's like bam.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, yeah. What it is, every artist begins their project with the assumption that this is going to suck. This is going to fail.
Okay.
You know, and then when you're faced with the fact that it's working, you're left with, what do I do now? So we have a lot of things that are working, and so sometimes you're right. We sit around going,
wow,
bam.
I like that response. Michael, I'm always happy to chat. I know you're going through town, and you're you're a busy person and you're going to be performing, which is what you do, mm-hmm. And all the other stuff. How you do all these things, and you build log cabins and you build bridges and you
Well, look at me. I'm only 18, but look what folk music has done to me.
It's been a hard life wherever you go. That's all right. I can say. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it.
And thank you
by.
To your audience. You've got a wonderful audience, and you're also one of the soldiers and the pioneers, one of the great gatekeepers between artists and the audience, and your audience has to remember that you are also an artist and a very fine musician. So
you're very kind.
They're receiving the music from a fellow song farmer.
Thank you very much, Michael Jonathan. We'll catch up again sometime.
I hope so.
Thanks, bud.